Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Potters beat writer for the Union Tribune. I am in Denver. Potters getting ready to play three games against the Rockies. Final three times of 19. Oh, boy. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, we've reached the point in the season. Things winding down. We got two bad teams going against each other. Same thing as last weekend in San Diego. I think we're mostly talking about Padres pitchers today, but I want to know what's on your mind.
It feels like we just did this with the Rockies. They're throwing three crummy pitchers against the Padres, and they did that last weekend and pretty much shut the Padres down, but the Padres shut them down as well and won two out of three. So this is the last time the teams will play, and then I think what the Padres play like 12 straight against Arizona to finish the season or something something along those lines. No, I know you go to Milwaukee. Unfortunately, don't get to see Christian Yelich.
Yeah,
which is too bad.
That's always a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, just the standpoint of watching great players, you miss out on that. But yeah, I don't think there's a lot to discuss about the Rockies, certainly, who have been one of the bigger disappointments in all of baseball, really. I mean, they're second worst record in the National League at 62-85. So they're 6.5 behind the Padres, who have 68 wins and 16 games to go. I mean, it's hard to say where they'll end up, but somewhere in the 75 range.
Sure, 73, 75, something like
right,
that.
Right, seems realistic at this point. So tonight is, I believe, Joey Lucchesi for the Padres,
Then
Eric Lauer. They seem to go together in the rotation together. Yeah. They came up basically together, same draft. I mean, and for the future, I mean, that's really what we're talking about. What do we see for the future? Are they both going to be here? Is one of them going to be gone? Are they both pitching for a spot on the team maybe next year? Where do you think things stand with the two left-handers whose names start with the same letter?
I think that you've got it. That's what this next couple nights, and I think you could throw Cal Quantrill in there. Cal Quantrill, who has allowed 8 runs in each of his last 3 starts, whereas before that he'd been on a 7-game stretch where we thought, you know what, Cal Quantrill, he's something.
Yeah, we were talking about he was a lock for the rotation next year, and all of a sudden now he's in a position where you're not sure exactly what you have from him. But back to the lefties,
Lucchesi
tonight and Lauer tomorrow, and I'll start with Lauer because he's just been atrocious against the Rockies, right? And in his career, and especially at Coors Field,
he very well may have earned his start tomorrow by being throwing a good game the other day against them, and that was not the first time that he's been adequate against them, but the first time since last year that he's been adequate against them. It's just been awful. And so he and Joey Lucchesi, and we've talked about this before, but as we get closer to the end of the season, it becomes more imperative that they are, as Eric Lauer said yesterday, leaving a good taste in the Padres' mouth in terms of if they're going to be better, the Padres are going to bring in a starting pitcher, most likely. They're going to make a real effort for that, I believe, in the offseason. You've got Garrett Richards. You've got Chris Paddock. You've got D. Nelson Lamet. So you've got three, at fewest, locks. If you bring in a pitcher, that's 4. There's 1 spot for Lucchesi Lauer.
Right.
And so, yeah. As of now, with 5 months till, the middle of spring training, I would think that would put us, a long way to go, a lot of moves to be made. That, yes, we are at the point where every start by Lucchesi and Lauer is, hey, what are these guys learning? Like, been saying this for a while, training wheels off, all that. Well, they weren't. If the training wheels were off, these two guys were wobbling. But now it is like, look, are you guys a 4 and 5 starter for a team that's going to be good? So there you go. Unfortunately for Eric Lauer.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things about that is you kind of think, well, they've watched these guys pitch for 2 years. Is the last three, let's say they each have, I haven't figured it out, but they have 3 starts left probably, maybe 4. Does it make that much difference at this point?
Well,
but maybe it does.
Okay.
I mean, are they showing something about where they are at the end of a season? Can they be counted on in September? That sort of thing.
Well, also, and I'm going to get into this in this weekend, be it that I write about Joey Lucchesi tonight. I just made up a new nickname for him accidentally, Jucchesi. Lauer tomorrow, maybe both of them, however it is that I choose to do it. They're reaching the point now where most guys, I think you could safely say, would be coming up to the majors.
Right.
Remember
right.
how quickly these two guys, which we have always said were not Mackenzie Gore, you know, were not, well, you know, to project a little bit of what maybe Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino could be or Chris Paddock, you know, they're not Walker Buehler, mm-hmm. okay, who actually had more time, I know he had injury, but had more time in the minors than them. These guys are what they are, and they rocketed through the minors. Basically, single A, little bit of double A, boom, you're in the majors. And you were doing a triple A season last year for the Padres.
Right.
And so, and you know what? Still learning a little bit this year. So, yes, and you know what, Jay, great point. What are three games going to show you? And wait, you still got spring training next year, all that. Nonetheless, these two guys have reached a juncture, right, that it is super important basically every time they go out. And, you know, it's important that they believe that.
Well, and if you look, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers here, and I'm starting with Lucchesi. I can only look at one at a time. Lucchesi, last year, 26 starts. This year, 27 starts. He's thrown 20 more innings this year and yet allowed only one more hit, only five more earned runs. He's allowed fewer homers. He's allowed a few more walks, struck out basically the same. Opponents are hitting 30 points lower against him. His whip has dropped from 1.29 to 1.19. So, I mean, he's definitely shown improvement. His ERA, and again, this could all change tonight. His ERA is about a quarter of a run lower, you know, than it was a year ago. So you could definitely look at that and say that, sure, Joey Lucchesi has improved. And, you know, there's no reason to think that he wouldn't improve just a little bit. You would think more in the next year if they keep him around. I'm looking at Eric Lauer here. His ERA is virtually the same, 4.34 versus 4.41. Three more starts this year. Again, 24 more innings. His number's not quite as impressive. The opponent's batting average is 274 as opposed to 285. I mean, I think at this point, I mean, Lucchesi certainly would rate higher than Lauer. And then again, you could say if you're going to be trading pitchers, which, you know, we could see at some point, Lucchesi would have more value than Lauer would, most likely, unless it's to the Dodgers, who might want to trade for Lauer just so he doesn't pitch against them anymore. Or he doesn't go somewhere where somebody can pitch him against the Dodgers in important games. But, and that was why I raised the question, like, what can we see that we haven't seen already? But I think it's just a continuation to see what these guys mm-hmm. have learned and will continue to learn as we go forward with what, just a little over 2 weeks left, you know, in the season. And then what about Quantrill? What do you make of what's going on with Quantrill, who, as we said just a few minutes ago, he looked so good for really close to 2 months, you know, from the time of the All-Star game up until three starts ago, and now three straight starts has not looked good at all. So what are you hearing, what are you seeing from Quantrill at this point, and what can we expect, you know, with him pitching against Denver, Colorado this weekend?
Basically all the things that he was doing during the good stretch, he's not doing now. The only thing that hasn't happened is his velocity hasn't dropped a whole bunch, but, you know, the thought is that he's tired. There you go. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for him, because that does happen to players, right, to pitchers, right, it's just coming at a bad time. If the Padres are trying to figure out, they're going to move on. I do not know what their plan with Cal Quantrill is, because there is a strong belief by everyone that was watching him, outside of the organization, inside, wow, this guy turned a corner. This is what the Padres projected. You know, this is a guy who was injured basically his entire college career, right?
Right,
and
right.
And, you know, was sort of held back a little bit, didn't start strong at all in the minors. But, hell, okay, this is what they projected when they took him eighth overall in 2016. So I'm not saying I don't know. They're not giving up on him, but bad time to go into a funk, Cal.
Right. And, you know, we could still see, I guess, probably three more starts out of him. You know, if you figure they're going even with a six-man rotation, that would work out where he'd go, like, you know, pitch basically on each of the final three weekends,
and with
here, which would put him give him the game tonight against Colorado and then probably two against Arizona if they choose to go in that direction. And you know, again, that's, you talk about what's left to show in three starts. Well, he's got a lot to show, I would think, in those three games to show that he can pull himself out of this funk, because I'm sure. Look, nobody wants to give up on Cal Quantrill. I mean, he's 24 years old. He was the eighth pick in the draft. They paid him a lot of money you know, to sign him just 3 years ago. I don't think you're at a position where you're going to give up on him, but I'm sure you want to see a little bit more than what you've seen here in the last three starts from him. So I guess those are important games for Quantrill coming up here.
Certainly with what he showed, both mentality and stuff in those seven games, yes, that supports the idea that, you know what, there's something there and,
right,
you know, we'll see. And you talk about three starts, well, and I'm going to use this little segue. They can be important for Cal Quantrill, just like the last three starts for Chris Paddock.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look how good those were after a couple of really rough starts, and Paddock bounced back with, you know, three outstanding starts against increasingly better opposition. I was out there the other night watching him against the Cubs, who looked strangely awful that night, but that doesn't take away from Paddock and how good he looked in that game and the previous games as well. So, which brings to the fore the obvious question: have we seen the last of Chris Paddock this year? And I guess I'll just tell you, I almost hope that we have. I'm not sure what's left to prove at this point. He's shown that he can bounce back from, you know, a rough patch. He's got three good starts in a row now. Everybody's feeling good about it. He's thrown his 135, 136 innings. What could we learn with one more start, two more starts, or whatever? To me, only bad stuff could happen by throwing Chris Paddock the rest of the way. Thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah. It's my understanding that Chris Paddock has not been told, you know, do I know that for 100% certainty? No, but I believe it with a high level of certainty that he hasn't been told. I don't believe that means the Padres haven't made up their mind. I'm not sure what they're waiting for. If they have made up their mind, it doesn't hinge on anything else. It's all, I mean, you could argue that like the biggest thing this season is revolved around is the handling of Chris Paddock. So it doesn't have anything to do with Jacob Nix or Cal Quantrill or Garrett Richards or anything. So I honestly don't know. Everything lines up. There are people around Chris. There are, you know, people in the organization that, you know, not people involved in, when I say in the organization or around Chris, not anybody involved in the decision, but there are people that, you know, really thought that was it, right? Now, Andy Green, who sometimes make offhanded comments, and, you know, but not often, when he was asked after Chris's last start, why not, you know, the whole, why not let him go out on a high note? He said, there can be more high notes. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Paddock's different, and they certainly aren't going to go, well, I see the merit in what you're saying for sure. Chris Paddock operates at a different level, and they know it. And in terms of, well, wait a minute, the fear of it going badly is not something that we deal with here.
Well, and I don't mean badly in terms of that he gives up five runs in an inning and he gets rocked or anything. I just mean in the sense of he's thrown the number of innings. You know, he's gone from, mm-hmm, what was it, 90 a year ago. Is that right, 90?
90, and he's at 135 and two-thirds.
Right,
so
he's gone up basically by 50%, if, mm-hmm, my quick math there is correct. He's increased his workload by 50%, and I guess my feeling is this guy is going to be a valuable member of your team, you would hope, for a long time, in seasons that you would hope would be better than this. So he's done what he needed to do, and there's no reason to push it. To me, it's more about the innings than anything else, that they've sort of reached that point that I'm sure they talked about at the beginning of the year. I think you wrote between 130 and 150. To me, being a little more cautious, these games, you know, win or lose these games, it doesn't really matter. They've got other people to pitch. I mean, you know, Bolaños can go out there again. And Garrett Richards, if he's going to pitch next week, gives him a sixth starter. Jacob Nix could pitch some more. I mean, there's any number of guys that could pitch at this point.
And those are the indications that I, you know, some of them that I've been referring to. Everything has been lined up that they can cover any innings that Chris Paddock doesn't, you know, isn't able to because they shut him down. They are going to base it. They're thinking like you, really, Jay. I mean, when it all comes down to it, you know, we're not going to risk anything with this guy. If they let him go, it's because they think that it's okay, because they're certainly they're certainly not going to risk anything with him.
Right. It just doesn't seem like there's any reason to take any chances at this point, after we've seen what we've seen from him and that he's pitched these innings and there's other, like you said, there's other people to go out there. Look, if they were going for a wild card right now, sure, throw Chris Paddock.
Well, I would say this, Jay, if you felt, again, like we can all look back and go, wow, Nationals, you really screwed it up with Steven Strasburg. But, you know, they did what they thought was best. I don't even know if a wild card would change things. They may have shut Chris Paddock down for another 10 days in the middle of the season if they were chasing a wild card so that he would only be at 120 innings right now. That's how they may have handled it differently. But my point is that circumstances around the team are not going to determine what happens with Chris Paddock. And that's why I say, basically, you and the Padres are saying the same thing.
Well, other people should think more like me more often, don't you think? Don't you think, Kevin? Wouldn't everything be better?
That's what I always
say. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
oh,
me,
that's
me
what
too.
I always say.
Me too. Somehow my wife doesn't say that, but that's another issue. So who else can we talk about?
Jay, I think that we have gone over this team a lot here.
Should we just cut it short today,
Hunter
Kevin?
Hunter Renfro may not, may show up on this trip. You know, among the things to look at, Garrett Richards, I'm pretty certain going to pitch on Tuesday in Milwaukee. That's what we're watching.
All right. Well, we can talk about Garrett Richards on Monday when you make it to Milwaukee for that, and the Brewers. Those will be big games for the Brewers this weekend. Not so big. So we'll cut this short. We'll wish everyone who's still with us a good weekend, and we'll talk to everyone on Monday.
Thank you very much.